Last fall, I headed down to Chef Steps, the online cooking and education community ran by Chris Young, who is co-author of Modernist Cuisine with Nathan Myhrvold. Now, just about a month before I went down, I had Chris Young on stage at the Smart Kitchen Summit, and he hinted they may be working on something beyond just their usual content, something in the form of hardware. And so, when I went down there, he showed me one of the early production samples of the Joule, the new sous vide circulator. Now, it's no surprise that if they were going to make a piece of hardware, Chef Steps chose to do a sous vide circulator, because after all, they're one of the top online destinations for people looking for recipes and suggestions about sous vide cooking. Now, fast forward to today, about 9 months later, and the Joule is ready to ship out to its early backers. I got my hands on one and I've been trying it out, and so far I like what I see. The interesting thing about the Joule, it doesn't have any on-device screen or LED. Everything's controlled by the app. It's also smaller than other sous vide machines I've used, and part of the reason for that, it doesn't use an internal heating coil, but instead uses a patent-pending thick film heating element that they designed with the help of a former rocket scientist from Boeing. Now, Chef Steps made news last week when they dropped the price of the Joule to $199, a full $100 price drop, and they returned $1 million to backers. Now, this is something you don't normally hear about startups doing, so I had a conversation with Chris to talk about this, as well as the story about developing the Joule. Now, Chris Young is going to be at the Smart Kitchen Summit, so if you want to see him, you better order your tickets. Simply go to smartkitchensummit.com and use the discount code PODCAST to get 10% off. All right, let's talk to Chris. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com. for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, Chris, I'm glad to get you on the phone today. I was actually down there a week or two ago to check out the Joule. You guys are getting close to shipping these things to backers.
Yes, we will be shipping in September. I'm talking with China, the team in China, every morning around 4 in the morning as we lock down, start docking final parts, and finish our test runs. So hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be announcing the exact dates to all of those backers and start shipping out in mass.
I was actually talking to a large food brand CEO today. I don't do that every day, but I was asking him about, and we were talking about connected hardware, and I basically told him food brands, also hardware companies, over the next decade or so, and even sooner, I think now they've started thinking about becoming content companies, because I think when you talk about the kitchen, you need content. You guys are coming at it from that angle. So I guess the question for you is, why is a content company, which is I think what you guys started as, going into hardware?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. And, you know, there's both a short answer and then I think there's a longer answer of why your instincts are correct about how food companies are going to need to rethink their businesses. You know, we started Chef Steps out because, you know, previously I'd been the co-author with Nathan Myhrvold on this very large book, Modernist Cuisine.
It's the only book I know that people talk about in poundage, by the way. 50 pounds, I think?
Yeah, it's about 50 pounds. so when we did that book, you needed a tremendous number of intermediaries to get what you knew to a group of customers. So and we undertook a lot of the work ourselves, which meant hiring people, but ultimately, you know, you needed publishers, you needed production houses, you needed distributors. You know, Amazon has certainly solved a lot of those problems, but you know, there's still a lot of moving pieces between what you write down and what ends up in your customer's hand. Well, when we finished that book, we realized the internet had really changed things so that a small creative team could basically build a global audience without a lot of people in between you and your customer. And so we started out just putting content, and we quickly found that it was thousands and then hundreds of thousands and now in the millions of people that, you know, we're really interested in cooking. We're interested in our perspective on cooking and sharing their perspective. what we found over the first few years was that that community of people was being underserved. They were being underserved by the people that made the tools they use in their kitchen, because these companies are not really looking for ways to make a better product that makes cooks more successful. And they're in many ways being underserved by ingredient producers who are still in the mindset of the 1960s and 70s, which is mass produce the same six or seven food products with slight variations, put a ton of marketing dollars behind it, you know, do deals with supermarkets to get sell-in. And, you know, that's what people can get. And so what I tend to see as the future and the way Chef's Tips views it is, you know, if you're in the business of food, whether you make hardware, whether you make recipes and content, or whether you make ingredients, your job is going to be to build relationships with your community of customers, find ways to solve problems for them, and they're going to buy your product if it's appropriate. So Chef's Tips quickly realized that we were in a position to take our content, combine it with hardware that would help our community be more successful in their kitchen, and we couldn't find anybody else who we thought could do that. So we decided we would have to be that hardware company as well as a content company.
As you think about content for hardware for cooking, you know, one aspect of that is just the visual guidance. But over time, if you look at this evolution path, the hardware actually starts to understand the content, maybe something in so far as like machine programming, instructions around recipes, much like I think Innit is trying to do. Are you guys thinking along that path as well?
Absolutely. You know, what we find is if we're doing our job right, you really want to be augmenting people's skills. So if they're cooking along and they know what they're doing, you want to be in their way as little as possible. On the other hand, if they get stuck somewhere or if they need some more skills that they don't know or don't have yet, you really want to step in and either have the physical technology help out or provide just-in-time learning through the content that shows them exactly what they need to do at that point and then gets out of their way so that, you know, the experience is still about the cooking. The experience is still about them, and the technology is just interceding at appropriate times to help them do it. And that's going to require things like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and a lot of those sort of buzzwords to basically make that a seamless and transparent experience.
One of the things that caught my attention when I was down there last week or so, you talked about the Jewel platform and how you were working with creators to essentially let them create. So you guys actually have this app. There's some, I guess, house instructions, house guidance. But what's interesting to me is, like you say to, you know, someone like Michael Voltaggio, right, who's a chef, say, hey, do you want to create a Jewel channel? Are you guys, talk about that. How are you working with these creators, maybe not only kind of celebrity ones, but also just kind of the general community?
Yeah, I think that's really important. And that's something that if you really have watched how Chef's Tips has behaved and acted over the last 4 years, you'll see it's kind of in our DNA, which is we're fundamentally biased towards opening. We have the attitude that we don't know everything in the world, that there are things that we have a particular point of view on or some particular expertise, but the world of cooking is much bigger than just us. And the thing that I'm particularly excited about and the things that I believe that will be necessary to really make these kind of technologies mainstream is you have to leave room for other people to come in and share their point of view. And that means you have to come up with ways for both celebrity chefs, but also just passionate home cooks to share their know-how, share their knowledge, connect with other like-minded people and collaborate so that there's more innovation in the kitchen, so that there's more opportunities to help each other out, with the end goal being making people happy in their kitchen. So while Chef's Tips is certainly leading the way and going to lead by example of the kinds of things that we think are going to be useful, we're very, very aware that we need to open up a tremendous amount of our tool set, our platform, if you will, to leave room for other points of view and other creators to come in and do things that like might surprise us, that might turn out to be crazy valuable for our community that we never thought of, and we want them to win.
Getting towards that idea a little bit deeper, if you look at this idea of the cookbook, we talked about it at the last summit, you know, the reinvention of the cookbook. I'm kind of imagining in my head someone like a chef has a particular expertise or is known around, maybe it's cooking desserts or maybe it's cooking steaks. If they wanted to publish not a cookbook, but an app that allows people to kind of take 10 great recipes that they've developed and cook, could someone basically create like the Michael Wolff cookbook and sell for $5 on the App Store and then connect to the Jewel?
Sure. You know, there's going to probably be a lot of different ways people can approach it. We're kind of, you know, we have some opinions of what we think are going to be useful. We'll probably even go as far as trying to create some tools for creators and some content to help creators get started for particular points of view. But we're not going to make it hard if you want to create a standalone app to control the Jewel. Like, that's coming. We're going to make that easy. If you don't want to take on that much technical burden, we're also going to make it easy for you to create a simple guided cook within our app using our tool sets and let you monetize that way as well, or give it away. The point is, we think there's going to be lots of different ways that this is going to shake out. And by biasing ourselves to making it easy for people to come in, share their work, and decide whether they want to monetize it or not, that's sort of the best outcomes for everyone.
It's interesting to me, this idea of like the future food channel fused with apps and hardware. Like, that to me, that's really what we're talking about, right? We're talking about that is how people may show themselves how to cook.
Yeah. I mean, right now, because you have all these closed systems, there's enormous disconnect between food experience as content, so food TV shows, magazines, recipes, cookbooks, and the tools that actually do the job. And if you look forward to the future, the hard trend is that these things need to start coming together. Now, the problem is everybody who is in a position on the hardware side right now to do something about it has a very closed view of how the world should work. I tend to agree with you that the future is about opening hardware tools up so that those types of streaming services can start to be connected into the kitchen and be more useful.
Let's talk a little bit about what's beyond the Jewel. My understanding, or at least my suspicion, is that a sous vide device is not the only stop where you're going to go along on this hardware path. Could you see what you're building out with the Jewel, the software side of things, being applied to other pieces of hardware?
Absolutely. You know, and it's going to take several pieces of technology, I think, for Chef Steps to really succeed at what we're trying to do. You know, so our hands are pretty full with Jewel at the moment, but longer term, you know, we tend to think that eating a hot meal is not a fad, and that's likely to be something people are going to do for a very long time, and that sous vide can only facilitate a subset of experiences. So there's going to be other technologies and tools that I think we're going to need to do to be able to facilitate more types of cooking in the kitchen. And so, you know, there will be other technologies. Equally, while we've made a pretty big bet on the utility of the smartphone in the kitchen, you know, when your hands are covered in goo, you know, the smartphone isn't always the best way to interact with the device. Now, with sous vide, which tends to be sort of set it and forget it, it's not too big of a deal. But what we tend to see is really valuable in the kitchen are interaction paradigms around using your voice, using gestures. And so those are things that I would expect to see Chef Steps investigating and potentially incorporating into future products as well.
Well, it makes it kind of convenient you're in Seattle. You might just head over to Westlake and talk to a certain company about that.
Yeah, we might have been chatting with those folks. We might have even been playing with that. I'm hoping to have some cool things to share later this year.
You know, you guys made news last week. I wrote about it. I saw it on GeekWire. GeekWire wrote about it as well. You guys dropped the price before you ever shipped, and that's kind of a unique thing. I haven't seen a lot of companies do that, right? So you guys announced the Jewel with, I think, a $299 retail price, and I think you had it for sale for $199 for early backers. It eventually went up to $249. What you announced last week is you're dropping the retail price to $199 and giving about $1 million back to people who bought it to square them down to $149. I guess, pre-buy price. What was that all about?
So there were several things going on there. You know, the starting point is, you know, when we sat down and started working on the Jewel almost 2 years ago now, you know, we knew we were having to invent a lot of new technologies. We knew that we were going to be doing some pretty expensive things. And along that way, we really didn't have a strong sense of like how many people are going to buy this. And so, you know, pricing's crazy hard, especially when you have no real track record to predict what your demand might be like. So we sort of looked at it. We looked at our economics and decided that $299 last November was about what we thought was a reasonable price for the kind of demand we might see. The surprising thing was demand was way better than we expected, and it sort of didn't abate after the holiday sale. It was continuing to build up, so much so that the manufacturing team was really having to double down put a lot more automation into our manufacturing, look at higher volume ways of doing things, and ultimately decided that we needed to even invest in building a second automated line for the manufacturing of Juul. Economies of scale being what they are, you know, our price came down. We don't have a perspective right now that the thing to do is sort of greedily grab those profits and hang on to them. You know, certainly we are a for-profit business. We do intend to make money over time. But right now, our job is having more people be successful in our community, and that means making Juul more accessible. So there was an opportunity as we scaled up to pass those savings back on to our customer. Certainly, we would expect to sell more at $199 than $299, so that's good for us. It's good for them. But we had this little problem of there was all these people who had given us more money at a higher price, or at least at the same price point as what we were actually going to be selling it at. And those were people who took a bet on us. Those were people who backed our vision before they had a product in their hand. And in some cases, those were people who'd been patiently waiting almost 9 months and went through a delay with us. So, you know, this is something Chef Steps has done before. When we change our mind about something or decide that we're going to take something paid and make it free in the case of our content, we give our money back. You know, we said, you know, we changed our mind about this, or there's a new price. And in this particular case, the correct thing to do was keep those people whole and demonstrate how we do customer service and the type of business we are at Chef Steps. So, you know, I hope that was a good decision. People seem pretty happy with it. And,
generally when you give money back, like there's generally like a more positive reaction than asking for more money. So that's just a general rule.
You know, it was very funny because, you know, we sent an email out to everybody who pre-ordered Juul in the morning saying, hey, you're going to hear this news today, and we want you to be the first to know. Like, trust us, we're taking care of you. You should expect to see money back. We're already starting to process your refunds. Not everybody opened their email. So a lot of people saw the news for the first time on social and stuff. And you know, we got some angry comments of, how could you do this? I've been waiting, and now I haven't even gotten my Juul, and you're changing the price. We made up with those people.
But what's interesting is, like, I find people who, even if you give them good news, they find something to complain about. I saw one guy who knew that he was getting a refund, but he complained that he had parked $50 extra in your bank account for a year, and he wished he had it back, like, because maybe he could have earned like 50 cents of interest. It's just like, there's always someone who's going to complain.
I think even if you figure out the interest rate, we just gave you a pretty good deal. But you're right. There will always be some people who assume we have some angle on this. And the answer is no. We just think we were doing the right thing.
Now, it is a competitive market, right? I think, you know, Anova's doing really well. They just rolled out to 1,800 targets. I think that's good for the category. Retail's picking it up. Someone like Target picking up is important. And you also have guys coming in on the low end with you know, 129 sous vide machines. So was any of the decision-making around dropping the price around a more competitive marketplace?
Look, I can say that it didn't factor into our thinking. We could have been very happy at a higher price point as a company. We're delighted that we can make it more accessible for people. But Chef Steps has always kind of paid attention to Chef Steps and its community. So, you know, yes, there are other competitors out there. There are lower cost options. There's differences between the products, but, you know, whether that was a good pricing decision on our part is relative to, you know, some of the other sous vide devices, we kind of think it's immaterial. People will make a decision with their dollars of which product they want, and we're happy with whatever choice they make.
You have a guy who's associated with the company who has given you money, but he also kind of stars in your videos. At least I saw, it's almost like
cameo.
Gabe Newell, the backer of Valve, is actually in that video where Grant Cree was running through Pike's Place Market. So was that something he negotiated into the contract?
You know, I think that was one of these things where Gabe was humoring us to do that. You know, he's very hands off with the company. He's a bank more than he's an investor, but Gabe is somebody who's really helped us think through some of the bigger challenges. Think about how you build a company really focused on its community for the long term. And I'm certainly glad he made a small appearance and at least acknowledged the important role he's played in this company.
Well, I checked it out on YouTube. I saw the video and I thought it was funny because some of the Valve community found Gabe in that video and were excited about it. For people who don't know, Gabe's a pretty legendary guy in the video game community because he created Valve.
Yeah, no, we sort of got annihilated by the Gabe Newell fan base after we published that video. It's like, spin up more servers.
So do you guys have like a probably higher than you expected penetration into the gaming community for sous vide at this point, or?
You know, I don't know actually the answer to that. I at least think a whole bunch more gamers know about us now. I'm not entirely sure what the overlap would be. That's not something we actually put a lot of planning into.
Hey, well, Chris, I wanted to check in with you. Thanks for taking time and talk a little bit about how things are going to Jewel. And it's shipping. If you wanted to buy it, and when I want one in my hands, what am I going to get if I buy it?
So right now we're shipping all the pre-orders out starting in September. We're going to be shipping them as fast as possible. We had a pre-sale for our last remaining production capacity that is for fall delivery. We sold out. We sold out in less than 7 hours. That was kind of a surprise to even us. So we are scrambling to see when we can ramp production up even higher, get some new allocation. And so if you go to Chef Steps and you sign up for I Want to Get on the List, that's how we're going to let people be the first to know when we're going to be able to start delivering it again. But I expect it to be soon, certainly well before Thanksgiving.
And you guys are only distributing at this point through Chef Steps, your website. At some point in the next year, can we expect retail?
That's actually a big question. Certainly there's a lot of discussions around retail, but Chef Steps has pretty substantial site traffic. We've been very happy with the amount we've been selling just through our site. And by not working through traditional retail channels, it's let us stay very focused on our customers. So we may be doing this a little bit different.
All right, Chris, thanks for taking time with me.
Thank you, Mike.
This Market Show is brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and This Marketing Summit. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find The Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For Season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.